you a song. Hey. You make me want to roll my windows down and cruise.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
2014 Cleveland Browns season tickets are on sale now. Secure the best seats at the best prices to cheer your team, the Cleveland Browns, at the newly renovated First Energy Stadium. Visit clevelandbrowns.com or call 440-824-3434 today. And let's go, 216-578-0852. Adam in Oak Harbor wants to weigh in with us. Hello, Adam.
Hi, how's it going?
Good, man. What you got?
The one rule change that I actually have is actually the pass interference, how drastic it is with the advance of the passing game in the league now that, you know, you have Tom Brady at the 50-yard line tossing a bomb down, and like we saw this year, it was very, very questionable, and they got it on the 1-yard line.
Right.
That pass interference call is making games now. And I think with the advance of the passing game that they should do something with the pass interference, maybe give like a 15-yard penalty and redo the down.
That's a good thought, Adam. I think It is too punitive. I like the college rule. Make the max a 15-yard penalty instead of a 50-yard or whatever, in that case, 49-yard penalty, or some cases, 60-yard penalty.
That changes the game right away, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It changes the outcome of
games. It's the incompleted bomb pass that you throw. And Adam's point about the way this game is designed as a pass-first league, more of those opportunities are going to be there, so you might have to adjust. Let us bring in with us right now is Scott Petrak from the Elyria Chronicle Telegram, covers the Browns. Scott, thank you for taking the time to join us. And want to jump in with some of the developments that we heard from the owners' meetings. And, of course, I think one of the Browns' headlines to emerge from that is the fact that tomorrow, Johnny Manziel's pro day at Texas A&M, and Mike Pettine, Ray Farmer, both saying they're not going to be there. And essentially, and Mike Pettine articulated this pretty well, diminished the thought of the importance of a pro day, that it just really doesn't tell you much of anything.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I get that, and that's fine. I don't have a huge problem with that philosophy. I just don't know what harm it would do if you get more information. It seems like, you know, these teams spend so much money and so many resources tracking down every teacher that these guys had in middle school, that if you actually were live with them and could see the pro day, it's more information you get. Maybe you get to see how he interacts with teammates. I just don't see the harm in attending something like that.
Hey, Scott Petrak, Michael Reguy. Good to talk to you, buddy.
Hey, Reg, how you doing?
I'm real good. You know, something, and I recall you and I standing here in Berea and talking about this during the season. How would you feel? The one that intrigues me off the field with regard to potential is expanding the roster from 46 to 49 available on game night for especially the Thursday, Friday, Saturday games. I'd be in favor of it just across the board. Do you think that one's got a shot at passing for teams that have to play Thursday and any day other than Sunday on a short week?
I think it should. You know, that makes sense to me. You know, the inactives every Sunday or every game day, you know, it's a big deal for about 5 minutes. Okay, who's not there? But a lot of times you know who it's going to be. If the guy's injured, he's not going to be up. Or it's the same 6-7 guys that they kind of rotate depending on the week. So I'm not sure. I mean, I know why the league did it. The league did it because if you have a couple injured guys, they don't want the other team to have an advantage being 53 versus 47 or 48 or 49. But I think on those special circumstances, I'm good with expanding it. You know, with the focus is so much on player safety, I think the league has made some concessions, but I think there should be more in that direction. And that would be one of them. Say, okay, you know, we're going to expand the roster a little bit so we don't have to force a guy if he's not 100%. Or if a guy gets banged up, he doesn't have to go back into the game necessarily because we have other options. And that just seems like a common sense rule that I like to whichever team suggested that.
As we talk about, again, more of what we heard from Ray Farmer, and from Mike Pettine, you get the feeling, again, that the Browns obviously want to keep the discussion as clouded as possible about the draft in general, but I think the quarterback position in particular, Scott, we still know that this is a vital spot for the Browns to address in one form or another. How do you see it going? I mean, can you, at this point, what part of you is comfortable with the idea that they – Pettine and Farmer are comfortable with Brian Hoyer as the starter.
Yeah, I mean, isn't that the million-dollar question, Vic, is trying to get a read on just what they're going to do to address a quarterback, and then is it, are they going to take one at four? I get the sense that they'd be fine with Brian Hoyer. I think they're like everybody else. They don't know exactly what they have in Brian Hoyer. You know, he only started 3 games, played 9 quarters. I think their interest in Matt Schaub before he got traded to Oakland shows that they're not 100% comfortable with Brian Hoyer as right. their guy, and that they were looking at other veteran options. We know they're going to draft a quarterback. We just don't know where. But I think they have a similar feeling to me that I would like to see what Brian Hoyer can do. And I don't think it's the worst thing in the world if Brian Hoyer came in and he's your starter week one. And if he started all year, I think there are worse options. And, you know, the Browns have had some of those worse options over the last 15 years. But yeah. I don't think there's a slam dunk that says we have to give him a long leash. If we draft a guy, and I think Mike Pettine mentioned it yesterday in Orlando, that along the lines of Russell Wilson, what Seattle did. They brought in Matt Flynn, and Russell Wilson won that job. And I think that's the kind of scenario that the Browns are leaning towards setting up, where Brian Hoyer's your guy, but if it's David Carr at 26 or Jimmy Garoppolo at 35 or whoever that quarterback is down the road, second, third round, if he comes in and plays great, then you move, you know, he steps ahead of Brian Hoyer, and Brian Hoyer becomes a backup, and that rookie starts. But I think they will open the offseason with Brian Hoyer being their guy.
Scott Petrak joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily from the Elyria Chronicle-Telegram. Scotty, if I threw this out to you, and it goes in line with what you were just saying with regard to attaching value for the talent at the top of the draft, if I threw out to you that I've kind of got a strong feeling that the Browns' top five and a lot of organizations in the league's top five may look something like this: Khalil Mack, Greg Robinson, Sammy Watkins, Jadeveon Clowney, Jake Matthews. What's your response to that? Yay or nay?
I think a lot of guys in the league probably have that. When I evaluated for the Browns, I think 2 left tackles in the top 5 seems like a stretch. You know, I know Pettine yesterday said that having Joe Thomas doesn't preclude you from taking a left tackle, but I think you probably lock in on one of those guys and say, okay, if he's there and the other guys are gone, maybe we take him. You know, and here's what I can't get a good grasp on quite yet, and we got a long way before the draft. Mm-hmm. Is there a quarterback that the Browns like that is in that mix? And if he's not there, fine, they'll move down the road. But do they like Teddy Bridgewater enough that if he's at 4, that he's their guy? Or it could be Blake Bortles. And that's what I'm not positive of yet. And obviously Ray Farmer's trying to keep that a secret. My guess is that no, that they don't. But I wouldn't be shocked, you know, if they fall in love with Teddy Bridgewater. I mean, there's a lot of good film out there on him. You know, Mike Pettine talks about the it factor and being smart. And I think Bridgewater answers all those off-the-field questions for you that maybe a Johnny Manziel doesn't. You know, I think he can handle the pressure, and I think he works harder than everybody else and has all those intangibles. So that's not what I'm positive of. But the thing is, when you talk about that top 5, there's no corner that belongs in that top 5.
No.
The really question is, do you force one of those quarterbacks in there? Because I think you're on the money with the rest of those guys, Clowney, Mack, Watkins, Robinson, and then I think that 5th one is it a second tackle? Or could it be a quarterback?
Good stuff from you, Scott. We really appreciate you taking the time to join us, and I know we'll catch up again very, very soon.
Sounds good, Phil.
Thanks, Scotty. Take care, man.
Scott Petrak from the Elyria Chronicle-Telegram joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Going to hear from Brian Baldinger of NFL Network at the top of the hour in about 10 or so minutes from now, maybe a little longer than that, but we'll get his thoughts on Browns and on what has gone on at the league meetings these past few days in Orlando, Florida. Mark Gaughan from the Buffalo News joining us at 2:30. Going to talk about the passing of league pioneer, Hall of Famer Ralph Wilson. And believe me, this man had a big, big place in his heart for the Cleveland Browns. And Mark is going to join us to discuss a little bit about that. Nathan Zagura, who normally co-hosts this show, is going to check in by phone also at 2:45 from his vacationing down in Florida. And we've got that to look forward to, lots to look forward to, your calls, your tweets. I'll tell you what's going to come up next. Mike, let's get into the tweets because we got a ton of those.
We do.
All right. So we'll
rules tweets.
Rules tweets.
Yeah.
People have a lot of opinions about that, so we want to share those. You've been tweeting us at Browns_Daily. You also call us at 216-578-0850. Reg with Vic Carucci here. It is CBD on ESPN 850 WKNR.